Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, I'm glad you guys are here. Let's welcome everybody to some pulpit scotching right now. You guys want to? Don't you guys love it that we have an extended church family in those two communities? And I believe that, honestly, this is a year where last year Taylor and Cassie started a church. They have a service on Tuesday nights, a Guts campus downtown called the Local Church at the Mayo Hotel on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. And I believe this year, if I had to bet, I would bet that there's some church launching in us in the next year or so. Okay, I want to be as vague as I can, so that, because I know there's some black and white people in here, but I'm just telling you, God's doing something, and I believe there's communities God's called us to impact. And when I say us, I mean some of y'all. I believe there's churches that are in this room. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a couple of young core guys in our church that have been here for 15 or 20 years, and one of them, both of them are business owners, and both of them came to me and have been here since they were teenagers. And both of them came to me and said, you know, Pastor, it's amazing how many businesses and entrepreneurs and employers that we have in our church, in the core of our church. And I said, yeah, I get it. There's probably like that in all churches. And then I started thinking about it as I saw people, and I looked around the room and I thought, oh my gosh, there's an inordinate amount of that type of influence in the marketplace in this church. And I believe God's doing something. And I believe that there has to be a little bit of that when you launch a church, or when you take over a territory. Because see, that's what it is to me. It's not church planning. It's not even a church launch. It's like taking over a territory. What we're counting on and we're investing in and we're helping resource with Taylor and Cassie is that they take over downtown, that they take over that territory, and young professionals and other places that are like that. You think about Sepulpa and Skytook. I want you guys to know that we're counting on you to take over. We're counting on you to not just take a sliver or a piece of the pie, but just take the whole pie. Man, let's bring captivity captive. But I think in order for us to be able to do that, we have to be the sight line of our lives, and the target of our aim has to be the greatest life imaginable, the greatest life known to mankind. And there's got to be that thing. There's one thing that gives us access to that great life that God's given us to live. Just one thing. In your life, it's kind of like the woman caught in adultery. That Jesus finds out that they're going to stone this gal. And they caught her in the act, okay? Notice that the man she was with wasn't in the mix. So that's what religion's going to do. Religion's going to be a bully. Religion's going to kind of pounce on the oppressed, if you will. And so here's this woman, they're about to stone her, and Jesus said, hey, you have legal rights and grounds to be able to do this. But see, Jesus was never looking for the legal answer. He was always looking for the heavenly answer, which was mercy. So you know that there was going to be mercy there, all right? And so Jesus said, hey, I'm all into this happening, but I just want to drop one little nugget with you. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. And of course, nobody threw a thing at her. Everyone shut up. And he finally turned and said to the woman, where are your accusers? And she said, I don't see them. And he said, I don't either. And notice, the accusers of our lives can't stand the presence of God. And the enemy is standing before God day and night, accusing us legally. See, but that's why we have to have the revelation of the justification of God, that we're not guilty, even though in the natural, that's different. Spiritually, we're not. And that's the price that God paid, sacrificing his son Jesus on our behalf. Okay, so you look at this, and Jesus said, where are your accusers now? And she said, I don't see them. And see, what Jesus did is Jesus flipped the equation. And see, that's what we have to do in our lives. That's what we have to do in our situations. That's what we have to do in our marriages, in our raising our children, with our finances, with our resources, with our ministry future, our vocations. You know, honestly, if you ask me, if I have to fight my battles in the flesh, carnally, I'm going to win a few and I'm going to lose a few. Sometimes I'll get the bear and sometimes the bear will get me. But you know something? We've got to look at it that spiritually, that's not how things work anymore. And see, for us, the Bible says to be carnally minded or worldly or earthly minded, the Bible says it's death. Okay? But look here. But to be spiritually minded or heavenly minded, it's life and peace. And see, you'll say, well, Pastor, where do you come up with that? How does that equation work? Well, here's how it works. Jesus said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. But God says, listen, my ways are higher than your ways. Okay, my ways are here. God's ways are here. And here's how God equates it. He said, my ways are higher than your ways, higher than the heavens are from the earth. See, so the flip that happens in our life, that we flip, and what has to happen is we have to flip the script of our life. See, I think so many people are living their life, you know, by what they can see or what they've experienced. So are you living your life by what you see or what you've experienced? Is that what's possible in your life? Because that's most people. And I'll go so far as to say in or out of church. But let me tell you, you're in a better place right now because you're sitting under God's word. You're in a better place right now because there's forgiveness in your life just because you're paying attention to the preaching of God's word. Man, there's blessing in your life. The grace, his power, his unmatched supernatural ability is availed to us now because we're sitting under his word. Man, that's that starting point. That's that first step. We get in a place to trust God's promise. And see, what's hard is what I see and how I feel and what I've experienced, it has such a strong tie to how I think. So that's why I've got to break those ties. And in order for me to break those ties, I've got to close the doors of my life. I've got to keep the gates of my life shut in what I see and what I hear and what I taste and what I smell. I was a brand new Christian. I moved to Tulsa to go to Bible school. Just 6 weeks before I moved here, man, I was doing drugs. And let me tell you, man, if you don't think marijuana is a gateway drug, I think it's crazy not to at least know that, okay? But man, it was cocaine and it was hash and it was acid and mushrooms and heroin and of course liquor and pot every day. But it was the 70s. But I remember I'd been a Christian for 6 weeks and hadn't even thought about doing a drug. Man, God, I'm telling you, delivered me. And I'll tell you how God delivered me is I began to serve him, the church, and his word. And God's word came into my life and impacted me more than anything had ever impacted me, that I was a new creation in Christ. Old things had passed away. Behold, all things had become new. And so now, drugs is a part of that old things. And so that's what's passed. Well, I go down to I lived in an apartment at 33rd and Mingo, an apartment house that we reach out to now. And I walked from my apartment down to the mailboxes at the clubhouse. And I went and I got my mail and I was walking back to my apartment. It was early afternoon. And I walked by an apartment that was three or four doors down from mine. And as I walked by that apartment, this whiff of marijuana hit me. Don't raise your hands. I'll just leave it at that. Because invariably there's people that aren't paying attention. And I'll be, man, Do your knees buckle when you get a whiff of marijuana? People are like, yeah, you're got it. So I'm walking by this apartment, and the door's closed, and that scent hit me, and I just went, oh my gosh. And I stood in front of this apartment door, and I was like, and I started imagining what was in there. I conceived in my heart this huge 55-gallon drum bong that was like an octopus with hoses coming out of it. And I had a hose in every orifice of my body. And I went by. And honestly, I don't think I was tempted to knock on the door and go in, but it was enticing to me. And I felt dirty. And as a six-week-old, brand-new Christian, I went into my apartment, and I literally dove in the Word. And you know what? In my heart, all I knew to do was to drive that other, what I'd just experienced, back out of my life. I'll just tell you, that day could have been the day that tipped me more than any other day. And you'll think, walking by an apartment? You didn't even get involved in anything. You know what? If it was a temptation, I didn't act upon that temptation, so it wasn't sin. But in my immature babe in Christ person, it felt like sin. It wasn't. And that's how the devil tricks us. Man, temptation feels like sin. Man, I was tempted. I feel so dirty. I feel so bad. And I did. It's the first time. I'd been a Christian 6 weeks, and that whole time, it's like I got on one of those lateral escalators where you're not going up, so I guess it's not an escalator. It's like a moving sidewalk at the airport where you get on it, and if you just choose to walk, it's like you're going 10 miles an hour, like 15 miles an hour, like you're sprinting, but you're walking like this. But because the path under you is moving as well, man, it's just jettisoning you. That's what happened to me the whole first 6 weeks that I was a Christian. I'm just telling you, it's like this upon that, just little victories and big victories, and things just fell into place in my life. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is a charmed life. And then I hit that moment of that facts hit me that marijuana was enticing and smelled really good. And the muscle memory, all of it rose back up in me. And you know what? I had to decide, and in order for me to do it, and really, I just started reading the Word. And then I realized, man, I got to devastate this battle. I just don't want to win. Do any of you guys ever get to that point where it's like, I want to devastate this battle? I don't want to just win this battle. I want to pulverize the enemy here. Does anybody ever get like that, or is it just me? Man, I just want to beat the holy hell out of the enemy today. You can say that if you're a preacher. Because I think it's good to beat the holy hell out of things. I don't think holy and hell, that's probably oxymoron. So we'll come up with a different word than holy. But you get my drift, right? Some of you guys woke up. Some Baptist people are in here saying, well, by God, he just said, okay. But that's how Baptist people talk, just so you know. But what I had to do, I'm reading the Word, and you know what? It wasn't good enough. It wasn't strong enough. So I said, okay, I'm going to read it aloud. Okay? And then I'm reading it, and it's like, it was okay. You know, at that point, as I read aloud, I kind of stumbled through it. I thought, you know what? I'm going to read it like it matters. I'm going to read it aloud like someone's listening to it. I'm going to read it aloud like the enemy. What I'm going to do, and that's the very first time in my life, I thought, well, I know God's omnipresent and God's omnipotent and the devil's not. He can only be in one place at a time. So with whatever summoning power that I have, devil, I need you right here in my apartment, right here at 33rd in Mingo in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I need you here right now. I got some things I want to say to you. And I began to read the Word like I was reading it to my enemy. And I'm telling you, things changed. Things were different. My perspective changed. We all know that our perspective is our reality. Well, my reality changed that day. Man, I'm telling you, it's like, oh my gosh. And that day I realized I'm a new man just from experiencing this. Why? Because it was truly a victory that God exposed to me that I got to live out. And that's what God has for you today. God has something, that one thing in your life, if there's that one thing that you could change, that one thing that if you said, man, if I just got delivered from this, everything would be different. Everything would be changed. Everything would be amazing. If I just didn't have to deal with this one thing, man, what if you took care of it today? Just the one thing. Let's not think about everything right now. Let's just think about that one dadgum thing, that one thing that there's a haymaker that's going to hit it. See, that's the script that God's called us to live by. That's the script that God's called us to live by. It's who we are in Christ. See, that's why the Bible says things. There's aggressive promise that God's given us. One is, but thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Another is, greater's he who's in me than he who's in the world. Here's how it all works. I'll just tell you, it's us against the world. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. See, so we look at our lives now and we think, man, is what I see and how things seem and what I've experienced, is that really what's possible? You know, I was listening to a podcast just yesterday, and I'll tell you, I it's probably the first one I've ever listened to. It was a business podcast. It was a personal business podcast. And it wasn't like the Millionaire Next Door. I think that's an older book or an older thought, but it was something like that, like ordinary people that had well over $1 million of net worth. And they were interviewing these people in this podcast. It was people, one guy, they said, what's the most money you've ever, they said, what's your net worth? And he said, my net worth is $1.4 million. They said, how old are you? He said, I'm 60. They said, okay, what's the best year you've ever had financially? He said, I made $55,000. Three kids, put them all through college. And they said, okay, how many years did you make that much money? And he said, 3 years. He said, so all the other years, it was less than that. And here this guy had 1.4 million. He said, did you inherit anything? And they said, no. He said, I just learned to live. Now listen, here's the key word for everything. I learned to live a disciplined life. I lived off of less money than I made. So that money that I had, the margin there, man, we IRAs and Roth IRAs, and he talked all these terms. But the thing is, it was every year it began to layer and stack up to the point where when he was 60 years old, it was $1.4 million. And I thought about this. I thought, you know what? This is not as hard as we make it. And it's not about money that I'm talking about here. It's about stacking up victory in our life. It might be your fitness. It might be just your weight. It might be your marriage. What if today that you made your marriage better? Just today, just incrementally, just a little bit. What if you did something? Let me just tell you, I got up this morning, and you know what? There were a couple of coffee mugs and a couple of bowls and a couple of utensils that were in the a knife that were in the sink. I just got up and I was frustrated because I was trying to figure out my Nespresso that's like a year and a half, how long we had that, and I still can't figure out how to do it. And there's one button on that machine and I can't figure the dadgum things out. So if anybody, the first person that comes by my house when I'm home, I will gift you a Nespresso machine because it's too hard for me to work with one button. But anyway, so I'm trying to figure it out. I'm frustrated. I look over at the sink and there's a few things and I thought, that's a battle I can win. So I put those six things into the dishwasher. And I stood back and I was like, yes! Victory! And I'm glaring over at that Nespresso machine. And then I went and took a shower and got ready for church. But the idea of this is that what we have experienced and what we see right now is not what is possible. See, the Bible says there's that the earth is full of things that are impossible for man. But the Bible doesn't leave it there. It says what's impossible for man is possible with God. And you know what? Some of you guys in here that may be Calvinist or pragmatic or you got to see it to believe it. You're here and you might say, well, but that's with God. No. There's a cross-reference to that verse that says, nothing's impossible to he who believes. See, so now this throne of grace that we can come to and find grace and help in time of need, that throne of power, we can come to that and we leave that throne with that power. And listen, it's not some of that power. It's not like that power. It is that power. See, you have to understand, Lucifer was kicked out of heaven because he didn't want to be like God or as God or have a part of God. He wanted to be God. So with his rebellion, you don't get any of that. But with humility, when we come to the Bible says when we come to his throne, listen, boldly and humbly, we receive grace, his power, and help in time of need. Why? So we go to God now. When we go to God and we profess his, declare his promise, here's what happens. The script flips. And what's possible with man and impossible becomes possible with God. See, this is the plane that we have to live on. This is who we have to be in Christ. We've got to be people that we put God first. First. Man, what are you going to do today? Well, I thought I'd go to the park and walk the dog and take the kids. And no, I'm going to honor God first. I mean, we've got to drive God into that first place in our life. It's got to be aggressive. That one thing. And you know what? You lose that one thing, you might think, I don't have anything. But here's what happens when we don't have anything. God gives us everything. In our weakness, what happens is made his perfect strength. When I decrease, it gives him an opportunity to increase. See, that's how the scale of our life works. I think most people want balance in their life. I don't want to overdo this church thing. Well, you know, I can't go to church in the evening. I got to get my kids in bed. Well, here's the bottom line. We pick and choose when we get our kids in bed at the right time. At the select time. The right time's not even, it's arbitrary. But here's the deal. I want to be here every chance I get. I want to be in the church. Why? Because the word's going to be preached. Lives are going to be changed. Miracles are going to happen. You wait. You guys that haven't experienced a healed service at this church, I think in 3 Sundays we're going to have a healed service, and it's what we do every year, the last Sunday of January. You know what we do at the beginning of the year? Man, we gear up and we ramp up to make 2019 the greatest year of our lives. Well, a month into it, you know what we do? We just take a little ramp on that path and we just call everybody healed. You watch the expectancy, the level of faith, the atmosphere of faith that'll be in this room. I'm telling you, you're going to see blind eyes opened. You're going to see people that have never heard anything their whole life that can hear you speaking. Man, there was a guy, one of the leaders that prayed for somebody a few years ago. And he's praying for the guy, and the guy goes, man, I can hear you. And he goes, I know. That's great. Just listen up. No, you don't get it. I can hear you. He goes, okay, that's fine. The room's real loud. I'm glad you can hear me. No, I can hear you. I've never heard anything before. Wow. Here, let me introduce myself to you. See, the stature of our lives is elevated because Jesus just said this simple phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, the Bible promises that what's impossible for us is possible with God. You know, I've told this story so many times, but some of you guys maybe haven't heard it. But Taylor, when he was 19 or 20 years old, went on a ministry trip with me to Haiti, and he brushed his teeth with the water, did something, and picked up an amoebic parasite. Well, 10 days after we got back, it started to materialize in his health and his body, and he lost like 30 pounds in 10 days. Couldn't keep any food down. Had golf ball sized lesions on his liver. Sandy and I were on a ministry trip to California, and we came home, and he took him to the hospital. And really, honestly, there's nothing they could do. And that's what the doctors did. They put their hands up like this. You guys, let me just tell you, it's not good for men to just go like this. That's not good body language. But they all just went like this, and finally just said, there's nothing we can do. And I remember being as desperate as I could be, and this is going to make he and I a little bit vulnerable here, but there was a time where he was laying on that hospital bed, and I was listening to this doctor, and I turned and our eyes met, and really, honestly, for the first time that I recognized it, he looked at me not just as his dad, but as the man of God in his life. So I thought, okay, I got to do something. And just we just cried out to God. Sandy and I stood in agreement. Sandy got, I mean, just said, look, here's the line we're drawing. Here's what we're going to say. Here's what we're not going to say. We're never going to say that. That's never going to come out of our mouths. It's a similar covenant that we made when we got married. We're never going to speak divorce, ever, and never have. And it'll be 35 years this summer. If I can do it, fellas, any of you guys can do it. But so we just cried out to God. Got a phone call from a friend of mine that said, Andrew Womack would like to come by. He knows the situation that you're in, and he'd like to pray for you. And I said, man, that's awesome. At that time, he had a revelation of the Spirit and truth and prayer and our lives in that, and powerful. And I'd heard it. So he, half an hour later, he's in the hallway of the hospital. I said, well, come on, you would like to come in? He goes, no, I don't want to come in yet. He said, I want to deal with this in the hallway, this first thing. And I said, okay, great. And he looked at me and he said, Bill, listen to me. And I said, okay. And I'm looking in his eyes. He reached out and he grabbed my shoulders. He goes, no, listen to me. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. I'm listening. He said, Bill, this is spiritual. And I'll tell you, something happened that day where what was here, when he said it's spiritual, it went here. And the script went like this. I'm like, oh my gosh. If you asked me to diagnose it, if you asked me to prescribe something, if you asked me to find the medical answer, I'm in the dark. I don't know what to do. But when it becomes spiritual, oh, it's on now. Now I know how to win. Devil, I got you here. And we began to proclaim the word, and we began to speak the word. We went in the room and laid hands on Taylor. And he left. Literally a half an hour later, I get a phone call from a missionary doctor in Africa, a friend of mine who moved his whole family over to Africa. He said, hey, I heard you're going through something. What hospital are you in? I said, St. Francis. He said, I don't have any privileges as a doctor in St. Francis. He said, but tell me what's happened. And I told him, he said, where have you guys been? I said, 2 weeks ago, we were in Haiti. He goes, oh, okay, tell the doctor to prescribe this antibiotic. Well, come to find out, that antibiotic was similar to other things you could almost get over the counter. Wasn't a real strong drug or anything. And here we were in a desperate situation. And I went over to the doctor and I said, sir, and I gave him the piece of paper. I said, here, prescribe this medication. And I'm sure he felt like I didn't come up with that medication, that someone was kind of coming in and there was some professional ego that got involved. And he actually said, you stick to the preaching and I'll stick to the doctoring. And I said, hey, listen, just prescribe this antibiotic. Almost thinking we got nothing to lose. So you know what he did? He walked over and he grabbed the script and he wrote it down and he kind of just put it down on the bedside table and he walked out. The nurse went over and got that prescription. Half an hour later came in and brought a little shot glass with a couple pills in it and some water and gave it to Taylor, and it was early evening. Sandy and I stayed there vigilant the whole night. Next morning, Taylor woke up like 6 or 6:30 in the morning, and he was fine. And they released him that day. I'm just telling you that to tell you, just flip the script. Just take it from the carnal level, the earthly level, to the heavenly level. See, you want to know your purpose in life, you got to serve your way to it. Here's how you find your purpose. You say, you know what? You make commitments to God like, God, I'm gonna come to church half an hour early, and I'm gonna pray for the service for 20 minutes before I go in. God, I'm gonna get the door for every person that I can. Just little commitments like that that go a long way with people in their lives. See, God wants to do something in your life that's so incredible that it's going to blow your mind. And let me just tell you, you'll end up this whole shooting match as just an ordinary millionaire. That's who we are. We're just ordinary next-door neighbor millionaires. And I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about people that, man, the Bible says that God's given us the power, and I'm not talking about money here, given us the power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. See, it's all about God establishing his covenant in our lives. That's what I did in that apartment back in 1979. I was reading God's word. I was professing God's word. And I was going to battle, because we don't battle against flesh and blood. My battle wasn't against dope at that point. That battle was already won. That battle now was in my heart. It was a spiritual battle. And let me tell you, we're a people that if it's a spiritual battle, we're to devastate the enemy. That's who we are. That's what we're about. That's the team that we're on. That's the jersey that we wear. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, are you ready to receive a word of the Lord? How many of you guys are ready to receive a word of the Lord today? No, get ready. I mean, ready yourself. Raise your hand if you're ready to receive a word of the Lord today. You ready? You win. You win. I'm not kidding you. You win. You win. Cigarettes, you win. Liquor, you win. Dope, you win. Porn, you win. Infidelity, go and sin no more. That's the response Jesus, being the same yesterday, today, and forever, had. It's a response he has for us today. You today are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everybody say this with me. God, I thank you. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. I am a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. I'm brand new, because all things in my life have become new. I receive today heaven on earth, victory on earth. God, you've set before me life and death. I choose life. God, I thank you now that I win, because everything I put my hand to prospers, and no weapon formed against me will. I win today, God. I win every day, God, because I'm a winner. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.